Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Brendan Ellsworth. I'm like dead. Brendan Ellsworth, Evoke Bike, coming off a mega week with Will Hardin here. We've been chatting about bikes and chatting with athletes this week. We had a little athlete camp, and Will and I have been able to hang out and do a mega week. Was this your biggest week?
This is my biggest week.
Biggest week. This is my biggest Evoke week. 32 and a half hours, I want to say. 5 days, Mega TSS, Josh Noggle, we miss you. But we want to talk about FOMO because someone said to me, they just kept comparing their rides. We were riding to the group ride and riding home, and they were comparing, should they be doing more? Should they be doing less? Wait, we're riding what? What does your plan say? Don't, with social media, if you guys listen to the podcast series, Cole Patton was talking about how even him, one of the best gravel racers in the U.S., got off of Strava because it was, he's looking at what other people are doing, double or questioning what he's doing then. And I just think the fear of missing out on training or the fear of missing out on particular sessions or I didn't do this and that person did that is so detrimental, not only to the training, but to our mindset, where Will was even talking about that he's riding tomorrow. I'm like, wait a minute, should I be riding tomorrow? It's like, no, I shouldn't. This is my plan that I've followed. So what's your thoughts on like FOMO and training? We could even get into like a racing aspect.
Yeah. I think kind of one of the roles of us as coaches can extend to being counselors in some way, which we are, you know, not specifically educated for. But this is one of those things where you have to find like what motivates you. And if Strava motivates you to do the work that is appropriate, that should be something you keep involved in your process. But if Strava motivates you to do like above and beyond and like do way too much, or if you're in a group where it's just like every day they're like hitting it way too hard and you're just getting check in with yourself, like keep a constant tab on how am I feeling and like is this something that is progressing me into a better athlete or like towards my goals.
How do you, when you're talking about the checking in, how do you keep notes? Or, you know, I think since I've had a coach for a long time, except for like a brief period recently where I was trying to self-coach and failing at that, a lot of my conversations in Training Peaks and attached to individual workouts. But I used to, my first mentor, and Mike really was my first coach, had me in Excel writing the like the ride stats before we were using Training. I don't even know if Training Peaks was out then. And then how'd you feel? Like just in words, how was the ride? What was going on? Do you do anything like that? Or what's your process for keeping track of yourself? So that, I guess what I'm getting is how do you look back? Or how do you, like, the only thing I don't like about doing it in Training Peaks sometimes only, it's good for communication with my coach, but it doesn't have the whole log right there. And I'm actually thinking that maybe I should go back and start doing like my old training diary.
Right, for the longest time. And currently in my Volkswagen at home is a journal. It's like a leatherback journal that I just write in all the time. I've probably had it for like 2 years now. And I just, whenever I have like something of note that I need to carry on to the next season or even wrap up, like a season wrap up, this is where I did things incorrectly. Like specifically this past year, I over traveled a little bit and like overstressed about traveling too much. So that was what I needed to work on. Whereas now I have tuned in personally, I feel like, oh, on the ride today, when you're like, I think I'm gonna do 150 mile banger. And I was like, I'm not gonna get better. I'm already tired. And I've eaten a lot and I'm not getting any less tired. So I gotta go home. So like, I think I can check myself on stuff like that now, but that journal at first was super helpful for me. The comments on Training Peaks are great if you go back and look at them and if you're actually listening to what you're writing. I feel like a lot of athletes are just like, word vomit, move on to the next. And that can be useful, but if you're working on yourself, I think you should listen to your own words.
So this is why I'm less is more in the comments, because if I look back, I don't want to read this whole long paragraph. I have some athletes that write mini novels and I can tell they haven't been in sales for one, because that is like just not, you're not getting your point across in a direct way. And how are you ever going to go back and look for threads? Because I'll go back and think, what was I doing that 3 weeks before that race where I felt really good? Maybe I should go see and da-da-da. And I actually will alter some of the titles of the workout so it stands out really well. Simply feeling poorly, feeling amazing. Maybe I don't use the notes as much because you can't, someone else can't comment on that. But just having annotations, started creatine, stopped creatine, you know, whatever. Little things like that that I think are headlines are important to be able to easily grab when you look back. And yeah, label your rides, not even for your coach, for yourself. Like when you go back and you look at every workout says road cycling, you're never going to be able to look back on that. That's an easy one. What about, what else on FOMO is helpful to pass on to people that you've gotten from training?
FOMO in training. Yeah.
That's or even in racing. Or maybe this is a quick 5-minute video.
Dude, in racing, that is hard. I have almost endless opportunities to race throughout the year. This season, I'm really excited that NCL is like holding us back a little bit. Like every other week we'll race. Whereas with Echelon, I could race like every weekend. It's like, oh, that'd be awesome. That'd be really fun. But like sometimes you have to take a step back. Specifically if you're doing longer stuff or even crits, you can do like a crit or two crits every weekend. And then all of a sudden, like the in-between, you're just recovering between those crits and you're not actually training or getting better. At the end of the season, September, you just feel like really, really dull. And that's what happened to me last year. Just like a combination of trying to train too hard during the week or like trying to rest too hard during the week. And then you just never are able to recover. Like, so I think allowing yourself that time to recover between stuff and not going out races or even like hard group rides, sometimes you can say no.
Yeah. How did you manage all that travel? I mean, maybe this is just my own personal dislike of traveling all the time. I usually max three race weekends during a month. And that's just like the ones that I really want to go to and are back to back. It's different. I'm 42. I'm married. So there's some other things coming into play there that I think other older athletes can relate to. But I think back to even when I was 29, 30, and I tried to not do it every weekend or like big travel weekends. I mean, because you have other things going on also besides just racing. So how do you, is it just something you enjoy or is there a thing that you're, like the season's only this long, or how do you pallet that and not come back on Sunday night? Like, oh, this is too much.
Yeah, I definitely didn't enjoy it in the beginning. I had to get used to it. And
which
I think,
in the beginning was when?
When I first started racing
with Echelon.
Yeah, maybe like right before racing with Echelon when I was traveling. This might actually go back even farther than that. My first nationals, I remember like sleeping on the floor. This family had let me stay in their hotel. And there were like, no joke, 5 kids in this hotel room and like 2 parents. And they were just climbing on me all night. Just like, I was in the middle of the floor. And I remember like, this is pretty rough. Since then, I know the limits of my tolerance in travel, I think. So coming down here, I was looking at driving. And then I was like, wait, flying is almost the same price. And it saves me like 15 hours of transit time, of which that is driving, which I could pass on a lot of the time. So yeah, finding big gains like that of like, oh, this saves me plenty of hours, but also having little routines. So I almost always have a toilet kit packed that I don't have to, I'm never going to forget my contact stuff because I just have everything duplicated in this bag and I just throw it in my other bag.
That's smart.
So it's like all travel size too. So I'm not going to get to the airport. And they're like, sir, this is more than 3.2 ounces. I'm like, you know, that whole thing saves a lot of hassle. Reps helps a ton. Just like, yeah, figuring out those little things through repetitions. If you have your own pillow and you're like, I need my own pillow when I go sleep. For me, I don't, but I like eye mask, like really dark sleeping and then earplugs because sometimes I'll sleep on the couch, you know? So if you don't have earplugs in, half your team might stay up until 1 a.m. and you want to go to bed at 10. So 10. Earplugs and masks.
People go to bed that late?
Dude, not this.
When you come here and you ride 30 hours, we go to bed at 8.
We go to bed at 8.
Yeah.
So yeah, just being able to like have your routine separate from others, which means sometimes you have to like adapt and bring those devices to make that
earplugs
happen.
Is a good idea.
Earplugs is awesome.
Yeah. And I think my last comment on the FOMO is especially with social media before when there was no Strava, there was no, you met up at races, you talked to people like, oh, what race are you doing later? So you had no idea who was going to show up. There was maybe the bike reg who's registered. You had no idea what everybody was doing for training. I've talked about before on the podcast, I used to blog a lot and would talk about training. People, some of the elders in our club were like, this is very Fred. You're not supposed to be doing this. I'm like, dude, I'm just talking about like bike races and like documenting stuff. Like, I mean, maybe you don't think it's cool, but I like to do it. And I would get random emails from other athletes who were like, yo, dude, I found this thing and you're going to this race. Are you doing that again next year? I mean, we were like, there was no Instagram. And so where I go with this, with Instagram, you now can see what everybody just did last weekend. And I might go to Swam Classic, have a great time. I'm like, oh, but this person did this gravel race. I didn't get to do that. I'm sad. Don't like set your schedule, set what works in your life. Look forward to things that you're going to go do. Celebrate what other people are doing, but try to avoid the FOMO. And I think, you know, I've even gone through of just like unfollowing people that if I went to their city and I wouldn't call them, like, I really don't know this person. Then I just went through a streak of like, I need to unfollow some people that are just like making me not happy. They get to travel more. They get to do this more. They ride more, whatever. If you're getting bad vibes from someone on social media, if you're getting bad vibes from me on social media, unfollow me. You know, it's not good for the mental health. And at least I got into this because it was making me more mentally healthy and physically healthy. I don't want cycling to become a negative thing. So
counseling. We're back at it.
We're back at it. Let's go. I have a psych degree.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Psychology and theology. And I went to two job interviews and someone was like, oh, theology, study of rocks. I was like, study of gods. I probably shouldn't work here because you're not very smart. Oh, any last comments on FOMO?
Got nothing. That was it.
All right. See you guys.
Bye.
Bye.